Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Is going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company with Ned Michaels and Barney Allery.
The sun is going down. I love that guy. The sun's been down. But ladies and gentlemen, as unbelievable as it is, Christmas is 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from today. Probably going to get some shopping done here soon. But anyhow, there's still incredibly, despite the fact there's only 2 weeks before Christmas, there's still a lot going on in the world of golf, and there is no one that I would rather share this moment with in studio with me than Hendersonville High School's very own and current Austin Peay female golfer, Megan Stamps. Megan, welcome back.
Thank you, Barney. It feels good to be home again.
Megan, for the longest time, several years ago, I think as she was a senior at Hendersonville High School, was Global Golf Radio's very own little ray of sunshine. And folks, by the time we're done with the show, you'll absolutely understand why. And so, folks, we want you to be a part of the show. Give us a call at 615-737-1045. That's 615-737-1045. Again, there's so much going on in the world of golf. In fact, there's live golf being played right now because as we speak, the President's Cup is being played at Royal Melbourne, and I think for right now, I think that the leaderboard is probably a little bit tied, but they just got started today, so it's still the match is still very, very early, but we're going to talk a lot about that. Of course, we're going to catch up with Megan later in the show, but where we have to start the show is in something that in my adult life, I don't guess I ever thought I would have seen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about or in the direction I'm heading into, it is the incident involving Patrick Reed last week at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, where, in case you missed it, as he's in the lead and in contention in a limited field event, his ball happens to be in the sand. And then I also don't know if the last hurricane wiped all the rakes out into the ocean and they're still waiting on their shipment of rakes out at this golf course, but his ball looks like it's in a footprint, basically in a heel print, and in a flash with the cameraman no more than 15 feet behind him. All of a sudden, as he's looking down at his ball and he's going to take this little mini practice swing, he basically stabs the club right in the sand behind the ball and then does a practice backswing with which he scoops out, I'm not going to say it was like a pound of sand, but he scoops out a visible little trough of sand. That now all of a sudden the ball is not in the heel print quite as it was. And then in case you missed it, he does it again. Megan Stamps, I could not believe my eyes when that happened.
Barney, I heard the scandal before I watched the video, and I was thinking, all right, the world's come down on him a little too hard. The golf world, we're being a little too critical. Let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt. And then I watched the video, and it happened, just like you said, not once but twice, and it looks like someone stuck a leaf blower in that sand trap and just revved it on high. There was no way that was an accident.
Well, and so sure enough, the other thing, too, is that we always want to come up and say, no one remembers who finished second. Uh-huh. No, you know what? You're right. Because in this case, Patrick Reed, who finished third, he's the one that stole the spotlight. But no, so that's it. He turns around and he stabs the club in the sand twice. The cameraman is standing 15 feet from him. And then when asked about the incident, what he wants to go on and go on the record with is that he didn't intend to do that. And then he follows that up with, I didn't see it. And about the part that he didn't see, well, again, evidently, and how can you not see that all of a sudden there's like a 6-inch path about the width of the bottom of your golf club that's in the sand that suddenly wasn't there, as well as, again, how can you not see that there's a cameraman 15 feet behind him? He must have the eyesight of Mr. Magoo that I have reason to believe you have no idea who Mr. Magoo is, but picture Charlie Brown's elderly grandfather extraordinarily nearsighted, and I'm not so sure if Patrick Reed's vision hasn't deteriorated to that effect, but when he comes around and says, I didn't intend to do it, Megan Stamps, you are a current golfer at Austin Peay State University. When have you ever had your club touch the sand as you're about to take a practice swing? Has that ever even happened, even once?
In 15 years, no.
No, because again, I'll give you a pass if you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. You know, I'll give you a pass in a situation like that. I'll give you a pass if you're brand new to golf. I'll give you a pass if you don't know any better. But eventually, as your skills improve, and somewhere along the way, you become a little more, you start knowing the rules a little bit more, especially when you go in the sand. I'll also give you a pass if, let's say, you're going to trip and lose your balance and the club hits the sand. But no, again, for him to do what he says, for that to have happened in the way that it happened, quite honestly, I just don't believe him.
You know, Barney, I'm a pretty glass half full, give someone the benefit of the doubt person, but I don't know. This isn't Patrick Reed's first time to be in the spotlight of a scandal.
If there's a guy in this generation that actually thrives on some kind of controversy or being the bad guy, it's him. Because for different reasons, we always wanted to cheer against Ian Poulter, especially because he was such an American assassin in the Ryder Cup. But I don't remember Ian Poulter pulling off any kind of a stunt like that. But the little stunt that he winds up doing now, Patrick Reed, I am here to tell you that I have admired your career and I have congratulated you repeatedly on these very airwaves for how you gained access to the PGA Tour. Because for those who don't know, he actually got on the PGA Tour through Monday qualifying. And if you don't know what that involves, picture 100 or more extraordinarily good golfers and you've got one day. One round of golf on one day, and only the top four advance. And if you're going to pull a stunt like that, when a cameraman, again, you're in the lead in a limited field event, and a cameraman's 15 feet behind you. Patrick Reed, I hate to tell you, but now all of a sudden I have to take into question and wonder, what did you do? What other things have you done? Especially in those early years that you didn't intend to do, that you didn't see, and there wasn't the camera.
Well, you know, we had talked about this a little before the show. That's just a blemish that you can't take off your name, because even as a college golfer traveling around, you'll be with your teammates and they'll say, hey, I played with this girl last year. You need to keep a close eye on her since I see you're paired with her. She tries to cheat.
Yes.
And that's a reputation that's going to follow you through whatever you do. The rest of college golf, web.com. Doesn't matter. Once it's on there, you can't get it off. And, you know, we can only take our best educated guesses about how intentional his moving of the sand was. But I'm going to say whether it was or not, you know that by the amount of sand he moved, he sure as heck felt it.
Yes.
So at least own up to that part, if nothing else.
Also on Twitter, I have to believe that it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But someone on Twitter said something about as though it was Patrick Reed's caddy. And as they walk up to the ball, and something as if the caddy said something like, man, that's a bad lie, to which Patrick Reed's reply would have been, not for long, bro. And so that he's going to go ahead and take care of that. And sure enough that he did. But one of the things that separates golf from other sports is that, Megan, in my eyes, you want to know what football is without referees? It's practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. But when it comes to golf, think how many hundreds of golf, junior golf tournaments, amateur golf tournaments, and now college tournaments that you've played in. And it's just not reasonable to expect that there's going to be a rules official to watch you on every single shot, you and everyone else in the field. Tournaments typically take place from sunset to sundown over the course of over 100 acres of land. And, of course, there's 18 holes. There might be 100 or more players. There just can't be a rules official on every single to watch you on every single shot on every single hole. And so that's how and why we have to police ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as a competitor, yes, I want to play better than you. No doubt about it. But not like this. And so, again, you would think some kind of like, a guilty conscience or something like that. I remember, I want to say the guy's name was Blaine Barber at like stage one or two Q school about two, three years ago. He wasn't even sure if he broke a rule. He wasn't even sure if he did, but just the thought. So he advanced and just the thought that maybe he did. I forget if, let's say it was something like replacing your coin after you've moved your coin, and he couldn't remember if he moved his coin back or not. And it was eating at him until he couldn't stand it. And he calls the PGA Tour and he says, I want you to disqualify me. This is like a full week after the event. And they're like, what? He's like, no. He goes, I can't take it anymore. He goes, I can't remember if I did or I didn't, but it's been driving me crazy. When he was looking back at his round, and then all of a sudden, like, this is a little whisper in his ear, hey, did you move that coin back or not? Or something similar to that, let's say. And it was eating him alive. And that's the spirit of the game that, quite honestly, as I sit here right now, makes me wonder if Patrick Reed has it all.
No, I agree. At the end of the day, people can look back and only a handful are going to remember who won such and such tournament in December of 2019. But everybody's going to remember the scandals. Everyone's going to remember who did what and who was raised right and how they showed it.
So the first boss that I had of the first real job that I ever had, in so many other situations, one of his favorite expressions is let your conscience be your guide. And now, as Patrick Reed, he's turned a page, because in his mind, I didn't intend to do it. I didn't see it. I got a 2-stroke penalty and let's move on. And if he's asked about it again, look, I didn't intend to do it. I didn't see it. I got a 2-stroke penalty and let's move on. And so again, with the idea of let your conscience be your guide, his conscience meter, as far as I'm concerned, is so low that he is completely tone deaf to the outrage in the golfing community of what just transpired.
Well, yeah, besides public backlash, it seems as though there's no real repercussion because we've got the TV on right now and it's on to the next tournament.
Yep, and so again, Patrick Reed, just next week on Global Golf Radio here, we're going to have our year in review. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have the shot of the year, the part of the year, the par of the year. We're going to have, you know, a multitude of different things, as well as one of our little categories is something along the likes of something I never thought I would see. And Patrick Reed, all of a sudden, right here in December, no more than a handful of weeks before Christmas, you did something that I'm telling you I thought I would never see. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio. And when we come back, we actually are going to shine a little light of the guy that did win the Hero World Challenge. I'm talking about Henrik Stenson. He's got a tournament on his radar for next year that, quite honestly, took me by surprise. That and there's two of the most talented golfers in the world that respectively finished third from last and fourth from last at last week's Hero World Challenge. I've got concern about one of them. I'll be curious to see how Megan Stamps feels. So, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more to go. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Goodbye, window.
And we march on Global Golf Radio. Again, I'm Barney Allen. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club, joined in studio by current Austin Peay golfer, Miss Megan Stamps.
Hey there again.
Our little ray of sunshine. And so we were talking about the Hero World Challenge, which took place in the Bahamas. But from my perspective, maybe it could have been an even better tournament if they'd have played it in the beautiful state of Mississippi. And can you blame them when they've got gorgeous golf courses like Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, Fallen Oak, and Dancing Rabbit? They've got world-class seafood. Of course, they've got chicken. They've got sports betting. And speaking of which, how about those Titans? How about that? Mm. And so, again, I'm hoping the Titans can keep it up. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be at the game this coming Sunday because my son, who plays in the band at Springfield High School, they're going to have the band, I think, doing something during halftime. So I'm very excited about going to that football game. But folks, if you want to put a bet on the Tennessee Titans, you can go ahead and go do it at Mississippi, because it's where myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Muir like to do and like to go and to take care of all of your travel plans. All you have to do is go to www.visitmississippi.org. And so now, after talking, I'm done talking about Patrick Reed. Now let's turn our attention where it probably should have been, which is the guy that actually won the tournament, Henrik Stenson, who actually, as time flies, had not won in a couple of years, he dropped down to, let's say, around number 40th in the official world golf rankings. And as fabulous a ball striker as he is, I'm sure that that's not quite to his satisfaction. But now he finishes the year with this wonderful victory. And Tuesday morning, he actually happens to be in studio at Morning Drive. And they wanted to ask him about, you know, as he continues on in his 40s and maybe projecting into being 50, you know, and what his plans are and that kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, 50, that's way too far out for me right now. And he goes, I'm better just focusing on like the next 12 months, let's say. And Megan Stamps, would you believe me if I told you that the tournament he has on his mind the most for 2020, number one on the list, is the Olympics?
I believe it.
How about that? Because, again, a lot of people may or may not remember that he actually finished second. So he got the silver medal at the Olympics in Rio. A lot of people may or may not remember that Justin Rose actually got gold and Matt Kuchar got bronze. But in the meantime, Henrik Stenson said something along the likes of, I'm not going to quote him exactly, but that second place finish with the silver is either like in the same breath is either his favorite best second place finish or, not going to say the one he regrets the most, but that now he hopes for 2020, because he probably also realizes this is probably his last shot to represent Sweden. You know, because he's how old now? 43, I think you said?
Yeah, he's 43 now.
Yeah, so next year, this is for him to really be in contention. This is going to be his last true shot, you would think, at winning gold. But the Olympics, he's got the Olympics on his mind before the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and maybe even the Ryder Cup. And
you know,
his answer surprised me.
Barney, I don't blame him a lick. I think, you know, this is going to sound wrong, but golf tournaments, dime a dozen. Every year, roll back around, back around, back around. With golf, you don't even know if it's going to be in the Olympics from year to year.
Right.
You know, and with this last finish, I think, as sappy as it sounds, it just invokes something so patriotic in you that I don't blame him one bit for that being his main focus.
Well, because as they brought the Olympics back, and as I remember it, so that when they brought the Olympics back in Rio in 2016, I don't know that golf had been in the Olympics since like 1904.
No, I think it said 1909 or something was the very last time.
And so when the idea of playing in the Olympics, and if you remember the big Zika virus and
even going to go?
Yes. And so Ned and I questioned significantly, are the players even going to care? Mm-hmm. And here we are, and you've got a guy that finished second back in 2016, and he cares. Because, again, as we stand here in December, he's got that number one on his list. And I refuse to believe that he's the only one that has the Olympics on his mind.
No, I'm sure he's got it in him, though. But that's so funny that you bring it back up, because last time I was here, you know, permanently on a permanent basis, that was going on. And I remember a lot of the players saying, I may not even go. So it seems like with it coming back up again this year, it's more of a talk.
And I also wonder the ones that did decide not to go.
How much they regret it now.
Yes, 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 yes. That no one died from the Zika virus, at least that I'm aware of. At least not any golfers. And if anyone did die and you want to share with me, you're welcome to call in at 615-737-1045.
Yeah, come correct us.
And prove me otherwise. But in the meantime, also when we look back at last week's Hero World Challenge, there's two players that finished respectively third from last and fourth from last. The guy that finished fourth from last, there's only 18 people playing in this thing, but the guy that finished fourth from last, and so I'm going to ask you, should we be concerned or not, is Bryson DeChambeau, who all of a sudden, it's like he gets inspired to tap into his inner Brooks Koepka. He decides he's going to put on like 20, 25 pounds, and he says, and I quote, I'm going to look like a gymnast. And then he says to me like a juvenile, he says, I'm going to be massive. For a guy that's supposed to be so intelligent, I think that's such a ridiculous statement. I don't even know where to start.
No, it's happened so many times. I've heard horror story after horror story about girl college golfers who go to college, and then they have a person who will jack them up. They jack the team up too much, and they come home at Christmas time going, Mom, Dad, I can't swing. What's happening? My swing's changed. You can't change it that quickly.
It is so funny that you should bring that up, because as a matter of fact, I was attending a seminar, let's say about a month or so ago, and the guy that was doing the seminar, he actually starts talking specifically about very talented and very talented female college golfers. Mm-hmm. And he says, point blank, he says, any kind of a trainer, you've got to treat them like a Ferrari. You can't treat them like a pickup truck. You can't have them flipping tires and slinging sledgehammers and things like that. That's ridiculous. And so going back to DeChambeau, it fascinates me that again, he fails to realize that this game and hitting the ball further is more about speed than force. And so here he is in now his second tournament playing in the President's Cup. And I'll be curious to see. I'm not expecting him to play particularly well here at this President's Cup because, again, his distances, how far he's hitting the ball and stuff, he's basically got a brand new body now. But long term, I'm not that concerned about him.
Well, no, Barney, it's just too big of a change. And like we had talked about, he's going to find more success working on a faster hip rotation than he's going to find jacking up in the gym. And I don't know. It just seems too fast if you're not coordinating your swing speed with it.
Now, the other guy that finished third from last is Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. And I hope he proves me wrong. And I refuse to believe that he's just going to drift away all of a sudden. I have all the faith and confidence that at some point or other he's going to turn it around. But one of the things that brought me some concern is before the tournament started, they showed him in the practice range. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I've been following Jordan Spieth like closely and traveling to tournaments and inside the ropes and privy to all the information him and his coach have. But to me, he was like rehearsing what I would describe as sort of a new move and a new swing. And I just wanted to shout and scream through the television screen, Jordan, the last thing you need is a new swing. You got to go back to your old swing. You've got to somehow have your brain cleansed of like the last two-ish years of whatever in the world you've been trying to do with your swing. And I'm begging you, Jordan, I'm begging you to go back to what worked in 2014, 2015.
Nope. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, my goodness sakes. And so sure enough, he's rehearsing this new swing. And again, maybe it's in the Bahamas. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's already kind of, you know, maybe he's kind of done with the season and stuff. But for him to finish third from last limited field event, it didn't quite surprise me. And I hope he turns it around. I hope he has a great year next year. But right here and now, I'm telling you, Jordan Spieth, let's just say that I'm not a believer right now.
You're not? I don't know. A little part of me's always kind of been Team Spieth. So just out of pure hope, I'm sticking with him.
All right, so there you have it, folks. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio, and when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the President's Cup. And quite honestly, the United States team should absolutely win this thing and make it look easy. But nonetheless, I'm going to bring up a few little bullet points that we're going to have to keep in mind and see how this thing develops that just maybe the international team might have a slight shot. So, folks, keep it right here. Listen, Global Golf Radio, 104.5 The Zone.
What's in store?
All right, everyone. We march on here on Global Golf Radio. Again, I'm Barney Allery in studio. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club, joined
by Megan Stamps.
Global Golf Radio's little ray of sunshine, Miss Megan Stamps. And it's been a while, and I'm delighted that you're here. And folks, if you want to call in the show, give us a call at 615-737-1045. You'll get to talk to my good friend Ryan Albanese, who, unlike Ryan A. Mudds, normally presses the right buttons at the right time. So thanks for everything that you do. And not joining us on the show this evening is Ned Michaels. Not exactly sure where Ned is right now. Maybe that doesn't matter. But I'll tell you one thing about that, Ned Michaels. I bet that guy's got some good-looking hair. And so, folks, if you want some good-looking hair, all you got to do is go to Uncle Classic Barbershop. They've got locations in Bellmead, Brentwood, Cool Springs, Hillwood, and Nolansville. You can also book online 24/7 at www.uncleclassicbarbershop.com. It is Ned Michaels Barbershop, and it should be yours too. And so now let's turn our attention with the President's Cup, again being played at Royal Melbourne in Melbourne, Australia. And team captain Tiger Woods, well, he's out on the golf course as we speak. The captain for the international team is Ernie Els. And incredibly enough, when it comes to this President's Cup, we've had 12 of these now. And the international team has only won once. They've tied it once when they played out in South Africa, but they've only won it once. And that was actually 1998 at this golf course. So I'll be darn curious to see if history can repeat itself. Because one little tidbit of information that a lot of people might not necessarily realize with Ernie Els as the team captain. Did you know, Megan Stamps, that in 2002, Ernie Els won a golf tournament at the same golf course? He then defended his title and won in 2003, defended his title again and won it again in 2004, finished runner-up on the same golf course in 2005, and going back to 2004, he also has the course record having shot 60 at this golf course. And I'll be curious to know if he just has just the right kind of insider information to share and trickle down with his golf team.
You know, Easy Ernie will always have a spot in my heart, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough to trump USA.
Well, because another reality, too, is back in 1998 when the international team did win. Think back in 1998. Now, again, what year were you even born? Do I even want to know that
April
answer?
I was born in April 98, so
oh,
I was a couple months.
Oh, my gosh.
Couple months.
I've got socks older than you, but that's another discussion for another time and place. But in the meantime, back in 1998, Ernie Els was in full flight. He'd won the U.S. Open in 97. Ernie Els in full flight. Let's not forget a certain Greg Norman. Oh, by the way, yeah, that's right. He was from Australia. He played that golf course an incalculable amount of times. Let's also not forget a certain Steve Elkington, who'd won the PGA Championship in 1995. Oh, and does anyone remember a certain Vijay Singh? He was on that team, too. And then another guy by the name of Stuart Appleby, who had a swing that I absolutely adored. It fascinated me that he didn't win 50 times in his career. And then also the Golf Channel's very own Frank Nobolo, who at the time was a very, very gifted player. So you already had those six guys that I just now mentioned were part of that 1998 team. Instead, the 2019 version has seven rookies, seven President's Cup rookies. But who knows? Maybe they got a pile of guys that that they don't know what it feels like to lose one of these things.
I don't know, Barney. I'm going to say with Tiger leading the USA team, who else have we got? We've got our very own non-controversial Patrick Reed. You know, nothing about him to talk about. Who else is on there?
Well,
who else is USA this year?
Well, basically the cream of the crop, the biggest name missing is Brooks Koepka.
Exactly.
Due to his knee injury, and so he decided to, as well as I got every reason to believe that he just did not want to take this 20 plus hour trip down to Australia. But basically the cream of the crop on the US side is there, all but Speed. But now about Royal Melbourne. In case you don't know what kind of a golf course this is, picture Augusta National meets Pinehurst and picture it being like August and it hasn't rained in about a month. So you've got all these undulated greens. You're having to hit the targets. And in a lot of cases, the flag itself is an illusion. You're actually going to need to play either to the right or to the left of the flag, and it might funnel its way, because if you try to hit it straight to the flag, the ball's going to bounce something fierce. You got to keep the ball under the hole. And that's another thing. Prepare for those who are going to watch the tournament. Prepare to see club selection that's going to make you really scratch your head and just might make you say, shut your mouth, because when they're going to show that a guy has 180 yards to go and he's going to hit a 9-iron, what you might not realize is he's actually playing to the front of the fringe. He's not trying to hit it straight at the hole. And so the front of the fringe might be 155 yards. But that's going to be the kind of skill needed to play Royal Melbourne.
No, this is one, just watching it, you'll think, that's not going to get to the hole. What are they doing? And then it's going to roll off the back of the green. That's one of these courses.
So now, because the President's Cup has a little history to it, Megan Stamps, here's another little tidbit that I bet that you didn't know. So there's 30 points up for grabs at this thing. So 5 points are going to be done today. Another five are going to be competed for tomorrow. Then there's going to be a morning session of four and an afternoon session of four. I guess that's going to be on Friday. And then finally singles, which is going to be all 12. And it adds up to 30. Did you know that the winner of the first match, not the first session, the first match, which also happens to involve a certain Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. The winner of the first match has gone on to win 9 of the last 12 President's Cups.
9 of 12.
Yes. Makes you want to say, shut your mouth.
It does. It really does.
And then the winner of the first session has gone on to win 10 of the last 12.
Yeah, I'm going to say the odds are pretty stacked.
So the first match and the first session, it's going to be very, very interested to see how it plays itself out. And as we speak, again, you got some live golf going on right now. I want to say that the top two U.S. teams, they are leading. And then I think the international team has the lead as we speak in the other three matches. And then from there, something else that's going to be awfully interesting to see. So the format, so right now they're playing four ball, which basically is like best ball. And for those who don't know what best ball is, if Megan gets a four and I get a three, we're going to count the three. So that's how that goes. And then tomorrow they're going to play in foursomes. And in case you don't know what foursomes is, well, foursomes is basically alternate shot. So then they're going to have the foursomes match. Did you know that in the history of the President's Cup, USA, of all the last 12 President's Cup, the differential in the four ball or the best ball is that the United States is only plus four. In singles, the international team is only plus six. But the American dominance has happened in the alternate shot, better known as foursome, where the United States is a plus 28.
Mm.
So when it comes to the alternate shot, U.S. has a big advantage.
Barney Allery coming at it with all the trivia. We need our final segment to be trivia. Who's listened to all of this?
No, because folks, our final segment is going to be to catch up with what's happening with Megan Stamps. We're going to talk about her journey from freshman to senior and then what's going on with her in the classroom and then what we can expect from her as she is approaching graduation. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
104.5.
Oh, you're not going to believe what she's going to tell us here later in the show. You're not going to believe it. Because what she just said there, I don't believe it. So, folks, welcome back to Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Eller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. We're joined by Megan Stamps. We're going to find out more of what's going on with Megan here in just a minute. But first and foremost, as always, we're so proud that Global Golf Radio is brought to you by Hers and His. They care very much about the safety of their customers. Consequently, they've got litter vehicles and uniformed plumbers. They can take care of all of your plumbing needs. You can find them at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them online at www.hersandhis.com. And if Ned Michaels was here, how much confidence does he have in Hers and His? He sent it to his mother-in-law. He sent it to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's Hers and His. And so, folks, again, if you want to be part of the show, this is going to be your last chance to give us a call at 615-737-1045. But now, it's time to catch up with Megan Stamps, Global Golf Radio's very own little ray of sunshine. It's been a while. I think the last time you were in studio with us was, I think, in the spring.
I think once in the spring, and before that, it's been 4 years.
And so now, as I also have been following the golf team back in the fall, you say you might have played maybe, what, about 5 tournaments, I guess?
This semester, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've done very, very well.
Thank you. It's actually been a pretty good semester. I think I had a couple of low 70s this semester. I kind of went through, I experienced a back injury flare up, but thanks to God, that was quick. I only had to be out of one tournament, and now I'm back, and I'm ready for spring. I've been pretty happy with how this semester's gone, individually and team-wise. We're breaking some records.
So from my perspective, from the outside looking in, you've had a very nice trajectory of improvement from your freshman, from the time you were a freshman to right now. And is there anything specific that caused this nice little streak of improvement?
Oh, yes. It would be the mental golf improvement. It would be not thinking of 500 swing thoughts all at once. Because I'm the type who was a little bit over analytical. You know, I say a little bit, but we all know me. That's not true. So I'm setting up to the ball, and as I take it away, I've got 2 takeaway thoughts. I've got a drop thought. I've got a follow-through thought. I've got it all at once, and now I'm like, all right.
You're Jordan Spieth.
It's muscle memory now.
Yeah, uh-huh. you had the Jordan Spieth syndrome. You got stuck in what I call the minutiae of the golf swing.
Yeah, we've got an inverse equation now. The less thoughts I have, the better my score seems to go. So
that's right, because inevitably, from my perspective, Yes, mechanics have some degree of importance, but you never want to suppress the athlete and to some extent the artist. And from my perspective, can you hit the center of the face? Can you hit it high? Can you hit it low? Can you hit it to the right? Can you hit it to the left? And let's just kind of let's stay with that a little bit. No, so I'm very proud of you. And like another one that has not learned that lesson right now is Lydia Ko, who's been struggling mightily. And like just a few years ago, she was on the top of the world. And I think she's stuck in the minutiae of the swing. But now you've learned a very nice lesson. So good on you.
You know, it's almost like I just wish every athlete could go see a sports psychologist, because we didn't have one to talk to or anything. But our team, we have our own therapist. Austin P takes sports, student athlete mental health very seriously. And I know it's helped a couple of us there kind of get out of our swing funks or whatever sports we're in. But it's that. And we've got two brand new coaches this year. So one of them, she graduated at Austin Peay right before I came in, and now she's back to teach us. So it's just been a good atmosphere, coaches-wise, teammate-wise. It's been somewhere you really want to play.
But somewhere along the way, you finally cleared your mind.
Yeah, finally. Somewhere in 15 years, it's kind of calming down.
Well, I'm very, very proud of you. That's good. And then also something else, since me and you go way, way back, I remember back in high school, you mentioned something about your back injury, but back in high school, you had a lot of different back related issues, but now you're fine with that.
Now I'm fine. I had to build up kind of strength and core in my hips and my stomach and all of that. And I think I'd had a stress fracture. I'd had spondylolisthesis, where I don't even know, scoliosis, you kind of name it. We kind of had the works going on, but through our good workout programs we've got at Austin Peay, we're kind of regimented around TPI-type workouts, the Titleist Performance Institutes. They're treating us right there. So through that and our good training room, I've gotten back on track. But no, back in high school, freshman year, I had to have a second set of textbooks at home. I couldn't even carry textbooks in a backpack, couldn't use the stairs. So it's God's gotten me to where I need to be, and I'm finally happy about it, you know.
Now, because of your situation, is your conditioning similar to all the other players, or is yours like a little bit separate, and so maybe someone can do a certain exercise, but they prefer you not doing that exercise?
The only thing for me, I can't do anything that sort of makes my back go like inverse in that concave motion. Like if we're doing a kettlebell swing, I can't thrust my hips out, and I can't use super heavy weight because that puts too much on the stress fracture. But you know, not just for Austin Peay, but I think really any student athletes, anyone training, I think it's so important, and I'm grateful to my college for really listening to my needs and not putting pressure on that, because, I don't know, an injury's always been such a big part of my life, and now that I'm over it, looking back, just the way that people have worked with me in the training room, I'm so glad they were never like, no, sorry, you got to pick up that heavyweight anyway.
Right.
And I think that was a huge part of my recovery process.
And so now, so you're going to graduate, I guess.
One more semester.
I guess in May, right?
In May.
And so catch us up with where you are academically.
I think I have a 3.9 GPA. Thank you, Sociology Online.
As I recall it, I think that was more than me, but anyhow.
No, Sociology Online, you know, left a little bitter taste in my mouth after freshman year, but it's fine. It's fine. But no, besides that, I want to be a news reporter when I graduate. So I'm hoping to stay at local stations. I mean, all of my family lives here in the Nashville area. So, I mean, I want to work up and build a career up from there. I've gotten lucky enough to where Bob Mueller on Ned's other show, he's helped me get into news too. So I had an internship with them. I had an internship with Fox 17 this last summer. And actually starting tomorrow, I'm going back to Fox 17 for a winter internship. So just the more I can learn about the reporting process, the editing process, I figure the more I get that under my belt, the more prepared I'll be.
Because when you first set foot at Austin Peay, you had, and again, it's no big surprise, an extraordinarily overambitious goal of like biochemistry,
something crazy. One minute, it went from maybe I could be a nurse, and in about 3 weeks, I'd worked up to, you know, neurosurgery sounds interesting.
Oh, sure. That's easy.
And then 3 weeks into chemistry and pre-cal, I went, this isn't for me. Let's do broadcast media. But it's been the best decision of my life.
And then I'm sure that also while you were at Austin Peay, you were given all sorts of opportunities with the broadcast media.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, you can go onto YouTube right now, type in APSU TV News, and you can watch all of our school newscast. You can see that you can be the lead anchor. You can be the person behind the camera. You can be the producer. Austin Peay, the comm department, gives you so many opportunities. Right. So
then you're going to graduate in May. And then what happens with Megan Stamps after May?
That is a great question. You tell me. I have no idea.
So we're not exactly sure.
We know hopefully there's a reporter job right around the corner. And finger crossed, maybe there's a local one. But as for where, it's a little too early to start looking because the turnaround time between when those jobs open and how quickly they're filled, it's a little too early to start looking now.
And preferably more towards television, more towards radio?
Television. I want to be a news reporter for television. And hopefully, you know, the end goal at all of this is to end up back here in the Nashville area. But
and I know
that'd be amazing.
And I know good and well that Ned would kick me if I didn't ask. But have you also won any awards or anything like that that I need to ask?
No, nothing for broadcast media. No, we are still very much learning.
Ladies and gentlemen, back when Megan and I guess, first got to know each other, and again, she was our nice little ray of sunshine there, back when she was a senior at Hendersonville High School, every time you turned around, she'd get some kind of a school award for this and community award for that and another award for this.
Back in the glory days.
It was absolutely astonishing. And so, where is golf going to fit in with all of this as it comes for like the next coming semester? And then are you also thinking about golf and playing maybe in Tennessee State Amateur, things like that for next summer?
Yeah, I hope to keep doing that for sure. But as far as the rest of it, you're asking me the same question I've been asking myself for the rest of the semester. I really don't quite know where it's going to fit in yet. I guess that's going to depend on the hours I'll work. But it's been such a part of my life for 15 out of 21 years that I can't even picture my life without it. When a week goes by that I don't touch a club, I'm like, well, this feels weird. So there's no way it's gone.
Because you basically, when did you really start getting serious about golf? Because to get to where you are now, I know good and well that there was a large part of your life that you dedicated everything, I'm sure, surrounded golf. But when was that? Was that when you were 10, 11, 12, or 13, or what?
No, from age 7, from the very first lesson, it was always every week there was a lesson, sometimes twice a week. And then age 9, when I started tournaments, it was game on. So there was no going back, no looking back then.
Age 9, it was game on.
Oh, it was game on.
And so maybe not when you're 9 years old, but I'm also wanting to ask for like any parents that might be out there, and maybe they've got a daughter that might be around, like, let's say 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. What would a normal day of practice been for Megan Stamps?
Oh, God. It would be going to school, and then as soon as school
No,
out,
I'm talking summertime.
Summertime? Oh,
summertime.
God.
What time would you get to the golf course? 8-ish?
Oh, God. No. I would rather endure the heat than be... I'm not an early bird.
Okay.
Your girl's a night owl. So I was more of get there around 10... and then kind of be pushing them when they're putting the carts up, stay till nighttime. So I was more the one they were like, come on back in.
And then more range time or more playing time?
Well, you know, that's kind of funny is the range time is what I always thought it was supposed to be. And then once I got to college, I realized it was more playing and more chipping and putting. That's where I needed to focus on because I was always the type growing up, I was like, oh, my shots aren't close enough. And then I think after freshman year, my coach went, Megan, you've got the highest green hitting percentage and fairway hitting percentage on the team. Your up and down percentage is trash. We got to flip this. And so that's kind of when the light bulb went off and my practice started changing. So don't ask what high school Megan was doing. It's college Megan figured it out.
Well, Megan, we've never questioned the light bulb being fully bright and fully on. And again, the music's here. I can't thank you enough for joining me here this evening, 2 weeks away from Christmas. Have you bought all your Christmas gifts?
Oh, I got them all. Bath and Body Works.
I'm not surprised. So, folks, that's going to do it for us. Keep it right here on 104.5 The Zone. Team Martell is in with the neutral zone. I bet they've got a lot to talk about, too. Folks, see you next week.
Thanks for everything.